Hold on a second. Sorry.
Bless you.
Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Calypso Classics from Trinidad by Wilmuth Houdini on Folk Lyric Records, catalog number 9040.
So this album is a fairly recent acquisition following my discovery of Wilmuth Houdini from our podcast episode 7 of The Avalanches, wherein they sampled the song
Bobby Sox Idol.
Yes, where they sampled the song Bobby Sox Idol. And so we've been keeping our eye out for any Wilmuth Houdini albums, and this one I think is one of the only, if not the only, Wilmuth Houdini albums that was released on LP.
Yeah, I think so. I think he appears on some other compilations on LP, but I think this might be the only full length just of Wilmuth Houdini.
So this album is from the quote-unquote rare section of Joe's Record Paradise, and it's sort of recently, I guess maybe about a year ago, a new location in Silver Spring.
Yeah.
So Flissy, why don't you tell us a little bit about this album?
So it's on this sort of plain teal-colored cover, and it has these stripes of white in which it has Wilmuth Houdini and some palm trees, Calypso Classics from Trinidad. And then, like, in the center, there is a portrait of Wilmuth Houdini photograph. And it also says on the side, historic recordings from the 1930s and with Gerald Clark's Night Owls. And then on the back, it's got a little bit of a summary about Afro-Caribbean music and West Indies, and a little bit about Wilmuth Houdini, and a pretty nice summary of the songs that appear on this album.
Yeah, this album is kind of interesting because it's clearly, I guess, a compilation, but I guess all of Wilmuth Houdini's records were released during the 78 era, and so there was not any sort of native to LP recordings.
Correct.
But yeah, I mean, this album has sort of like, I don't know how to explain. I mean, it's sort of not exactly a budget appearance, but I don't know. I guess, yeah, like a archival recording appearance.
Yeah.
Just sort of no nonsense.
Right.
All right. Do you want to take a listen to our first clip?
Sure. What did you pick?
So I picked the song Black But Sweet, and that is what?
It's number 6 on side A.
So let's take a listen.
Black and homely, and that is all. She's black and homely, and that is all. When men meet her, they bound to fall and tell her, mammy girl, you're sweet, oh Lord. Go to Chabonas and you will see a nice black woman they call Didi. When she pressed her sweet lips to mine, I said, mammy kiss papi all the time.
Flissy, so what do you think about this track?
I really like the tune to this one. It is pretty catchy. And I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, it has like the same tune as a Balkan-inspired song that I like called Bukovina. And it also is reminiscent of the tune to Bobby Sox Idol, which is sampled in The Avalanches.
Yeah, I picked this song because I immediately sort of recognized it, I guess, from hearing the Chantal Bukovina, song from 2003. Although, yeah, I didn't even have any recollection of who Chantal was.
It's just among the, like, sea of belly dance and fusion music that you're subjected to at all times.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's interesting, yeah, the Chantal version, it uses the exact same tune, but I guess it's not, you know, not a straight sampling. It's just, I guess other musicians playing the same tune.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty much literally just Black But Sweet, but without the lyrics. So I find that kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why it was called Bukovina or, you know, it was a sort of a Balkan style recording. Do you know anything about Chantal Fussy?
Not really. I'm not sure where he's originally from, but he, at the time of that recording, was a DJ in France. And he has a lot of influence from Balkan music, but it's also kind of that world music genre, and especially of sort of that like European disco kind of flavor. So I think like that's an example of some pretty like world fusion kind of music.
But anyway, I kind of think that the song is sweet because, you know, he's talking about how she's homely, but then as soon as they kissed, he was basically like, ooh, you can do that anytime. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess this is sort of typical to the songs on this album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, none of the recordings are all that great quality, I guess, being sourced from 78s. But I think they do a fair job on this album. I mean, I feel fortunate that, I guess, that they're made available at all.
Mm-hmm. I also like about this particular song that you picked, it's got a little bit of like storytelling flavor, and it's not like a particularly flattering love song. Like, it falls in the genre of that Frankie Yankovic song that we talked about like many moons ago, where he's like, I have this girl, she's sweet, but she's not very pretty. Like, It's very matter of fact.
Yeah.
Affection for his lady, his DD.
All right, well, what can you tell us about Wilmuth Houdini?
So Wilmuth Houdini was born Frederick Wilmuth Hendricks, November 25th, 1895 in Trinidad. And it was typical for Calypsonians to take on a stage name. And usually they were like a little bit like macho and over the top. There's also Attila the Hun and Roaring Lion were some other Calypso singers of the time. And they were also rivals of Wilmuth Houdini. And from 1916 to 1920, while Wilmuth Houdini was in Trinidad, he was the director of this troupe called the African Millionaires. And it's a 24-person calypso and carnival troupe. So they'd perform at festivals, basically. And then he arrived in New York City in 1927. And he was one of the earliest immigrants from Trinidad into New York. The Calypsonians from Trinidad really did not approve of Wilmuth Houdini going to New York and then making a living as a musician. They really thought he was capitalizing on Trinidad and it was basically like a sellout. So Houdini and the Calypsonians had like song battles over this. So one of the things about Calypso music is it's kind of like a rap battle, basically. Like there would be at these festivals, like these showdowns between different Calypso singers. And so that was just part of the Calypso culture. And the Wilmuth Houdini and these other guys that he was sort of had these rivalries with overseas, even like they would send recordings back and forth to each other to like, you know, talk smack about each other in these Calypso songs, which I think is kind of funny. So while Wilmuth Houdini lived in New York, he organized a whole bunch of Calypso festivals and gained a lot of respect. He recorded over 178s from about 1928 through 1940. And at that time, about 25% of the Black population in Harlem were immigrants from the West Indies. And so he ended up staying in there because there was really an audience for him to perform his calypso music. So calypso has its origins from West Africa and sung there. That's a style of song sung by slaves and ex-slaves. And it was first developed all the way back in the 17th century. And during that time, the Calypsonian chant wells, those are like the the lead singers of this Calypso songs, they were often women because they were at less risk for being targeted for either being abused or killed by plantation owners. So that I thought was really interesting. And during that time, like, the style was mostly like these call and response songs. And then eventually when the former slaves moved to the West Indies and slavery was eventually abolished, the country became more urbanized. So eventually the ladies kind of fell off of the tradition and it became more men singing the Calypso songs. And most of the Calypso songs are either social commentary or they're just funny. They're like jokes. Or they could be like part of this rap battle situation where it seems like that could be like a combination of both of those things. And to clarify, a Calypsonian writes their own material and a Calypso singer only sings. So it's kind of unclear what Wilmoth Houdini's later career was like. My understanding is like sort of towards the end of the 1960s. I don't know if maybe like the population in Harlem changed or the taste in music changed. But there were over time, there were less of these like Caribbean and West Indies clubs and also less Caribbean street festivals. And so I'm not really sure what happened towards the end of his career. I did find on WFMU, there was another LP released in the 1960s, a compilation of Calypso music. And there's a couple Wilmoth Houdini songs on there that they're available to download for free. So there's a link in the show notes. But that seems to be like among the only other recordings on LP. And then Wilmoth Houdini died in 1977. Also on this recording is Gerald Clark's Night Owls. And this is just like one of the many band incarnations of the leader, Gerald Clark, who played festivals and clubs in Harlem from the 1930s through the 1950s. And he backed many Calypso singers, including Wilmoth Houdini and also the Duke of Iron, who was another one of Wilmoth Houdini's rivals.
So what I think is interesting about Wilmoth Houdini is that there's some confusion about his name. And I guess scholars think that, you know, I guess agree that his name is Frederick Wilmoth Hendrix. But it's interesting, I guess, on his United States passport, he had the name Edgar Leon Sinclair, and I guess he had claimed at points in his life that that was his name. So I don't really understand what the story with that is, why he, you know, was claiming to be named Edgar Leon Sinclair.
Huh.
All right, Felicity, do you want to tell us a little bit about your song, or do you want to tell us what song you picked, I guess?
Yeah, so my pick is the very last track on the album. It is Poor But Ambitious.
All right, let's take a listen.
Too proud to beg, too honest to steal. Employers, please listen to my appeal. I'm too proud to beg, too honest to steal. Employers, please listen to my appeal. Night and day I'm walking the streets. Nothing to eat and nowhere to sleep. So kind-hearted employers, my case is up to you. Give me something to do. I'm not asking for social equality, to rank with the rich in their company, to drive around New York in their motor cars, or to go to their penthouses and smoke their cigars. All I want is a job with a decent wage, to exist now and provide for old age. So kind-hearted employers, my case is up to you, give me something to do.
All right. So I find this song very interesting because, well, first of all, he talks about his, or I guess prospective employer, referring to him as the kind-hearted employer, please give me something to do. So it's really literally, as the title says, about somebody who's poor, but, you know, really wants to, I guess, you know, work and find, you know, something to do. And this ties right into, I guess, one of my interests, which is spending time thinking about the American dream. And I don't know, I think it's very interesting to ask people, you know, what their perspective on the American dream is. But, you know, I guess my perspective is that it is through hard work and self-reliance that anyone can find sort of a degree of economic success, and that their children can be better off, you know, that had more opportunities than they did. And I don't know that this song was meant to be, you know, really about the American dream, but I feel like he encapsulates it well by the phrase saying to be free of depression and misery. I feel like that is really sort of, a good encapsulation of what I think the American dream is. What do you think, Felicity?
Yeah, and in fact, on the back of the sleeve, the John Cowley, who wrote the liner notes, and this was released, I guess, in 1994 when he wrote this. This is the very last part of the liner notes on this album. It talks about that Houdini's case is that of a West Indian migrant in search of work with his impoverished, dependent family left behind in one of the Caribbean islands. He is not, quote, asking for social equality, but the right to work on the creed that, quote, every man was born to be free and to be happy from suppression and misery. A sentiment that holds as true today as it did over 40 years ago when Houdini first recorded it. And again, that was written in 1984, and I think that is definitely still holds true for today. This is a great example of the social commentary that is such a big part of Calypso music. And I think it's really interesting that, you know, now that he's recording in New York City, he's talking about, he's referencing Bing Crosby and Guy Lombardo and, you know, the atmosphere of the Depression in the U.S.
All right, Felicity, so what did you think about this album overall?
I really think it's interesting. I mean, when I, the combination of listening to the music and like it has this sort of, there's this kind of similarity among all of the songs. There's not like a huge variety in the instrumentation or the melody of the songs. It's really more about the storytelling aspect. And because the storytelling aspect is so interesting, it made me really curious to learn more about Wilmuth Houdini and about Calypso music. And it's just like, in many ways, it's very different from a lot of the music that I listen to. But it also has some, you know, very interesting similarities with contemporary music. Like, I definitely hear the a potential influence like on hip hop in Calypso music.
Yeah, so what didn't you like about this album?
I think maybe it's also like that sort of sense of sameness about it. It can be like not tiresome, but it's just like, because it's so the rhythm of the whole album is sort of steady. And the instrumentation is so steady. It, in some ways, like musically, it is not as dynamic as other things that I listen to. And so it can be a little bit like trancy. Like I can lose myself in like the endless Calypso rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. But I think that I attribute it to a slightly different factor. I mean, I think that it has to do with sort of the, you know, the recording technology and the sort of equalization that you have for 78s. And I think that it's...
makes it sound like it's coming from a tin can.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it would be a lot more engaging had we had a, you know, a modern recording, you know, modern recording techniques or whatever available at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think that this is definitely an, well... maybe not this album, might be a little hard to find, but I think taking a listen to Wilmuth Houdini is something that you should check out. There have been a few more recent CD releases and some tracks are available on some streaming services, so you should be able to get a pretty good idea of his music. I mean, it's a shame we don't have something similar to the Fremo and Associates release of Django Reinhardt's entire catalog. Mm. It would be nice to have a sort of remastered set of all Wilma Tunini's recordings, but maybe that's something that we can look forward to in the future.
I think so. I mean, like, digging around on the internet, there definitely seems to be, like, an interest in Calypso music, and it seems to me that there are like a couple blogs and some forums that where people, there's definitely some activity where people are really interested in the history of Calypso and digging up these old recordings.
Yeah. So I don't know. I really like this album overall. I think it's interesting to see, you know, songs that I've heard elsewhere, like the Avalanches. We discovered Wilma Houdini through that. And the fact that I had heard the song Bukovina by Chantel and didn't even realize that that was, you know, basically a literal interpretation of one of the, you know, one of the songs from Wilma Houdini.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just interesting to see how artists, even if they're not personally well known, they do have ways of, you know, sort of influencing music and popular culture.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So for more information, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/39. As always, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at livinginhifi. For longer correspondence, you can email us at feedback@livinginhifi.com.
And I just want to give a quick shout out to anybody that stopped by and said hi to us at the Baltimore Record Bazaar this weekend. We had a great time. Thanks for saying hi, and let us know how you like the show.
And next week we have a bit of a departure from our regular fare with a 2015 release from the record label Tender Loving Empire. So stay tuned for that, and thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.